In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Repentance can be hard to wrap our heads around, even harder to wrap our lives around. Daily, the old Adam in us must by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die, with all sin and evil desires. And a new man must daily emerge and arise to live before God in true righteousness and purity. It's a daily exercise. It's a daily exercise that involves our entire body. To boil it down to simply stop sinning is a bit too narrow. Which way is the body facing? Toward God or toward the devil? Or to use the words from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where is your heart, in heaven or on earth? There's a reason these ashes disfigure our foreheads and not our hands. It is not so much for us to see, though it is a reality, but it is for others to see the reality that is hidden within our heart. We are confessing something that we know is true of us, yet we cannot see it. But sadly, those closest to us often bear it all too well. These sins do not make us sinners, but we sin because we are sinners. The fault is not in our knowledge, as if a child did not know that he should not talk back to his parents. The problem is not in what we think that we are. The problem is in what we actually are. If we were good people, as we claim to be, if society truly was a good people, an innocent, blank slate as they enter into this world, then there would be no need for a judicial system and no need for a government. But anarchy leads to anarchy. Self-rule leads to the destruction of the self by the self. So society needs orders who use the law to curb our sinful flesh and to keep us in check with threats and punishments. And still we think that if we just had a little bit more autonomy in our life, then our lives would be far better. I'm fearful to think of actually how it would go. So men throw themselves at the law of God, trying to break through those laws. They shout that those are restrictive commands given to an old people, and we have progressed far beyond it. We assume our technological advancements means moral advancements as well, and we are mistaken. They want us to stay in our lane, speak about the law, sure, or speak about the gospel, sure, tell us about Jesus and his death and resurrection, but as far as how I live my life, what I am to do, well, that's only up to me and God. As if the pastor is not the one sent to speak the very words of God. So long as everyone believes in Jesus, they say, then it doesn't matter how we live. Let's all just get along. You do you, I'll do me. And what we end up doing is sticking repentance up in a dusty attic and unleashing our flesh. And you can look at society and see the results of that. You can look at better at the church at large, and see the results of that. We have forgotten repentance. Such people God would rather shatter with his law. So take a look at commandments 4 through 8. Have you kept them? Move on to commandments 9 and 10. Has your heart been content at all times, in sickness and in health? Swing back around to 1 through 3 and stand before the holy judge whose wrath burns because of sin and give an account of your life. Sin is godlessness. Sin makes us think that we are in charge of our lives because we see no immediate consequences. But the more we throw ourselves at the law of God to break it, the faster we are broken into pieces. In pieces is a good way to describe our society at large, and since we are always products in some way of our society, it's a good way to describe us as well. We're in pieces. Instead of wholeness, we have pieces, pieces that we try to pick up and haphazardly mash back together so we can just get along with a day. We end up divorcing our actions and our feelings from the reality that is around us. You see that grossly in society, but it happens even in our lives. That our actions somehow no longer define us. They're not the true me. It's not really me. It just was one mistake, one haphazard instance a long time ago. I'm not normally like this, and then we begin to list all the good things that we have done. As if that action doesn't define me. Your forehead would suggest otherwise. You are right about one thing, that your actions don't define you, but you define the actions. Your heart conceived it, your mind planned it, your body carried it out. It was sinful, wrong, and hurtful because you were conceived in sin, enmity, and hate. And it leads to separation. Separation from God, which is most fearful. Separation from others. How many relationships have we ruined? Maybe simply by neglect. And also separation from ourself. That is, we're broken in pieces. We're torn with guilt, worry, fear, and regret of what we have failed to do as we scramble to try to shove this life back together ourselves. So the greatest danger to us living a long, happy life is ourself. Pieces cannot stick themselves back together. They're never beautiful. First, they must be washed. Forgiveness washes clean and puts back together just as sin separates and divides. Christ did not die for pieces of you, but he died for the whole of you. So acknowledge your sin and do not cover up your iniquity by claiming that it's not the true you. It flowed from you, therefore it is you, even as Christ's blood flowed from him to cleanse you from your sin. For when you are the sinner, then Christ is your Savior. When what you are is the problem, then Christ puts you back together in the blessed waters of the font and declares you beloved children of the Father. He doesn't simply wash away one or two major mistakes that you have made in your life, but he washes your body, your mind, and your soul. He doesn't deal with you in pieces, but he deals with all of you, even down to your very DNA. He doesn't simply remove a symptom, but he goes at the very heart of the disease, sin. So Lent is a time to remind ourselves of daily repentance. Yes, we stop the sin, but we repent with our entire body. That is, we deny ourselves, we turn away from our wants and desires, and we live in Jesus. We take away our passions and lusts, and we throw them back into the font so that the sinful flesh, that old Adam, may have no part of us anymore. It's not just the action that we fix, but it's the thoughts, it's the motive, it's the heart and the words. We want no part of this. Our body, mind, and soul belong to Christ and to Christ alone. Raised in the font, a beautiful new creation, not haphazardly smushed together, but in the image and likeness of the one who created. We won't let our flesh divide us into work me, home me, recreational me, and me. But we are one in Christ. Christ defines us at work, at home, at play, and any other time we find ourselves. We are his and his alone. We walk in his commands all the time. We think his thoughts all the time. For the separation is ended. Whether you feel like God is united to you or not is irrelevant. God is united to you by virtue of your baptism, and he will once again feed you his very body, assuring you that that union is still true. Whether you feel like it or not, your life is no longer a broken mess of pieces that you're scrambling to try to reunite, but your life is hidden away with God in Christ, a life that will have no end. Faith clings to that life and that Savior. There is unity in Christ, there is peace in Christ. So daily the new man in us arises, daily he arises. For this gospel always brings forth a new mind, a new heart, new words, a new body, new desires, new feelings. We see some of it now, but not yet fully. Instead of fighting against God's commands, we desire to carry them out. They're a joy to our heart. Instead of acknowledging simply a couple mistakes here and there, we acknowledge what we are, and we confess our sins and our sinful flesh. For Christ and Christ alone is our great treasure. Our hearts are directed at Him. Our lives are with Him. And so we delight in the vocations that He has given to us, whether they are mundane and boring or they are noble and the whole world praises us. We were made for this because we have been remade by Christ. No, that does not mean the drunkard's liver will be perfectly healed right now. Virginity surrendered cannot be restored. The damage done by a tyrant father or a negligent mother does not instantly disappear. Sin still carries damages, damages which we still must bear and deal with. But we are forgiven in Christ. It is He who defines us. It is that cross that is our salvation. It is this supper that is our identity. He is our treasure, and our life is with Him, now and forever. Thus, repentance swallows up all of our actions, our words, our body, our soul. Yes, even our entire life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.